Aftershocks by Andrew James. Chapter 2. Where is Andrew? Where is Andrew? He is dead. Those same words played through my mind daily. It had been months, and in the hard times, the dark times, when everything seemed lost and the pain became fear, became dread, became hate and loathing, those same words would come unbidden into my mind. It was a mantra that my mind chanted without regard for the frustration and sadness it brought, and it came in twos, always followed by an echo of itself. Where is Andrew? He is dead. I don't know if I was asking it of myself, or if I was imagining another person asking the question. The words, like the thought, were abrupt and ended as quickly as they began. They felt right, though. In those moments, they felt so very right. They were the trigger to all the thoughts that followed, the moments where my mind would spin and reel and memory would fight and claw its way back into my mind. The words were the catalyst to the recent memories of the loss of all of those good things I had built, the great things, the things I cast aside and would never have again. It all came stampeding back. There in my mind, I was back again in my home, in my job, in my world. I was walking familiar streets in freedom, no longer constrained by the fear of the future. There, in those moments, I was once again the man I knew myself to be. I was all the things I knew I could be, and I could dream of what I would eventually become. I had reached the very pinnacle of a life that few would ever achieve, and then, in a moment, I had lost it. Those thoughts were agony. They were poltergeists sent to haunt me and drive me mad. They were an infestation, slowly eating away at the support columns of my mind, threatening its collapse. Maybe that wasn't such a bad thing, I thought. Maybe a little demolition is exactly what we need right now. I shook my head. No, we've made it this far. We can keep going. I wasn't sure who the we was in that thought. I'd started talking to myself a lot lately. It filled the void. When there wasn't a television or music or some other distraction, there was always good old me. I was my own greatest audience now, a remnant of the life I had lost. My job was gone, but the habit of explaining things in detail or speaking to a crowd was so deeply ingrained at this point that I often caught myself orating into my own mind. Maybe I was simply keeping my talent sharp. Instead, the we I had been speaking to spoke up. Its smug voice came from directly behind my eyes. Remember what you were? Do you remember? That's gone now. All of it. It was right. 1 minute I had been the best example of myself, not simply an idea of a great life. I had been that great life. Never had my world been as promising as it was in those moments. It was a life people would have aspired towards, and I had it. Pride cometh before the fall. Thanks. I silently responded dryly into my own mind. I envisioned the voice smirking at me. I wanted to put my fist through its face. I thought back. Each memory and each moment I could see in such vivid clarity and bright color that it must have been painted by some whimsical optimist with a fantastic brush that darted across the canvas of my mind, highlighting every color, making it glisten. It glistened the way a ground covered in wet leaves glistens, the way plastic covered in anything glistens. It didn't matter that it was trash, it still shone and glistened and reflected light as though it was proud to be trash. You can throw it all out if you want. Just throw it all away. They won't do you any good anymore, those memories. They're gone. The sarcastic voice continued. There I was again. City streets before me and high rises around me, the warm touch of her hand in my hand and the smile on her face as she kissed me and the word love darted from our lips between breaths, deep breaths. There I was amidst the familiar beat of a song and sounds of music and friendship, fighting to breathe as I choked on laughter that was so overwhelming it roared and unbalanced me and sent me falling towards another thought, falling. There I was, looking down from the small window, to see a distant, crisp city rise up as views of mountains and trees as far as I could see spread out below, the taste of amber liquid on my tongue as the pretty uniformed woman poured more into the glass. I didn't know they had glasses, but I guess that's what the price tag is for. Leg room and silverware. Real comfort. So much comfort. There I was in my new office chair, leaning back as I watched my name in lights. My name. Another crystal engraving to put with the other crystal engravings, lining the office bookshelf, another decoration of success to remind myself and all who entered that here sat accomplishment. It was my throne room, and these were the trappings of my success. There was a life in these memories, a beautiful life, my life. Every thought was a color and a shade of impossible perfection. The feeling in those images, though, oh God, that feeling in my memory was a fucking drug to me. The images were bright and the sounds so loud that no picture could ever hope to convey the meaning of each. But it was the feelings that preyed upon me. In those memories, I was still me. I was still the idea of myself that I so desperately longed for, but that had been fractured and then shattered by this world around me now. And then, ripping me from those moments. Where are you right now? The question brought me out of my reverie. I realized I had drifted into another thought again and lost myself in it as I so often did. Where did you just go? I mumbled some response about not knowing and repositioned myself on the couch. My eyes had gone to the left and up. I noticed they went to the left and up a lot when I got lost in those memories. I wondered if what I heard was true, that the eyes followed the thoughts of the mind. In those moments when I got lost in my thoughts, were my eyes really helping my brain find a new place to hide? You were somewhere else. Where were you? The room was dim. I assumed it was supposed to be dim. Dim seemed appropriate when I began to think about the thoughts we shared here. The thoughts were dim, and so the room was dim. The lighting in here was very much like the thoughts. It was the kind of dimness that made every statement feel like a whisper, like a conspiracy. You spoke in hushed tones to make sure that the thoughts never escaped the room. It was hard enough that they escaped you, but to go further from this room would be like the release of something terrifying on the world. An unspeakable evil or a terrible plague, a Pandora's box. Here in this small, dim room, they were trapped, and we were free to mumble our conspiracies to one another. I really don't know, I said again, looking back at him, and realizing my eyes weren't focused very well on the man before me. It's somewhere else each time, some other memory or some other scene. I don't know how far back I went this time. I just kind of got stuck, you know? He was silent again. The dimness of the room closed in each time we stopped talking, the silence closing in and dimness at the edge of my vision threatened to shutter me entirely. There was that constant waiting that occurred as we each struggled for a thought or revelation, maybe. I don't know for sure. Maybe he'd ask me another question. Maybe he would talk and banish the darkness for me. Instead, I spoke first. It's like each time I remember a little more, but it feels so... I paused, struggling with the words again. Detached, maybe? I said at last. There was another of those oppressive pauses. Then he began to speak, the questions chasing away the dim light once more, and the hushed conspiracy returned. It didn't matter, though. I didn't hear the words any more than I saw the room. I was already leaving. My eyes, somewhere off to the left, the coffee mug on the desk behind him blurred and then disappeared like the wavy lines in an old movie. As the characters travel in time, I was a time traveler, too. And then, in a moment, I was gone.